Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Here in Ireland for over 40 years, that's four decades of trust, reliability and expertise. Visit Zurich.ie.
Now, the European Commission has proposed suspending some of the trade parts of the EU-Israel Association Agreement. This comes 18 months after Ireland and Spain asked the Commission to review the agreement in light of the war in Gaza. Just over half of EU member states have to back the move, but it has to include large member states like Germany and Italy, who are blocking effective sanctions against Israel. Well, in response, Israel warned that EU's politically distorted sanctions will get an appropriate response. We're joined now from our Dáil studio by Neil Richmond, the Minister of State for International Development and Diaspora. And Minister, you're welcome and thank you for joining us. Why has this taken so long?
Well, I think it's quite obvious. When this was first proposed by Ireland and indeed Spain nearly 18 months ago, it was only Ireland and Spain and our friends in Slovenia who backed this. However, at another meeting when this was proposed again just last May for a review of Article 2 of the EU-Israel Trade Association based on the concern, the obvious concern that Israel is grossly breaching human rights, we got 19 out of 27 member states who passed it then. Subsequent to that, the European Council and the European Commission reviewed this. They decided that, yes, Israel is in breach of those human rights clauses. And last week at the State of the Union meeting, the President of the European Commission said that the European Union would now take a change of tack. So here we are this morning with the very welcome announcement.
Sorry to interrupt you there, because it's really useful timeline that you've given us. Do you understand how, once the EU decided that actually Israel was in breach of the EU-Israel trade agreement, how action wasn't taken immediately?
Well, as I said, we only decided in May to actually review Article 2. Then in August, they came with the conclusion that, yes, Article 2 has been breached. And here we are in September with a proposal as a response. So, yes, I would much have preferred that this happened much happier. But in EU terms, I must say, Sarah, as someone who's worked in the EU for nearly 20 years, this is relatively quick.
Really? I mean, people looking at what has been happening for the last 18 months and what has been happening in Gaza in real time for the last 18 months alongside the EU, looking at this report or that report or twiddling their thumbs, you know, and now we're told that the timeline for this decision is going to be mid-October.
Well, I think this is the thing that I have to explain. I agree with every single word that you've just said there. And this is the frustration and the reality of working at an EU level, working with partners, and why we have been working so hard with our friends in Spain and Slovenia to build an alliance to get real action, which this is, it must be said. But we now actually have to continue to build that alliance. There's no point me shouting across a European Council table or taunting to Simon Harris when we need to get countries who have, for their own reasons, economic, historic and social, very different opinions to the good people of Ireland and the government of Ireland. We still need to get this implemented. So there's two aspects that have been announced by the High Representative Kaja Kallas today. The first is the trade, suspending the trade in both goods and services, as well as the procurement element of the EU-Israel Association Agreement. That now requires us to get at least 16 of 27 member states, which is 55%, which also constitute 65% of the population of the European Union. We need to get them to back it. Secondly, we do
and
need
just
unanimity
for listeners,
on this
that part. In order to get 65% of the population, that means we need either Germany or Italy. Is that right?
Realistically, because Germany represents 18% of the EU population, Italy represents 11%, and indeed France represents 15%. We don't need to get a unanimous decision. We will, in relation to sanctions against two named Israeli government ministers and illegal settlers, we will need to get unanimity on that. So there's a bit of work to do on this. And what we are asking in the Irish government, first and foremost, is that we have an urgent European Council meeting to decide that. And what we'll be doing, starting already, we've already started this work, but indeed next week, myself, the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach will travel to the United Nations for the General Assembly. We will spend every waking hour lobbying colleagues, working to build alliances, as we have done, moving from two member states to 19 member states to review this in the first place, to actually get this, to be quite frank, relatively modest proposal across the line.
And how hopeful are you of that actually happening? I mean, we were speaking to Seán Murray a little earlier on, and she was saying, just from speaking to people on the ground, her sense of it is the positions haven't changed. And Kaja Kallas said something similar, didn't she?
She did. But the one thing I will notice, having attended European Council meetings consistently for the last 9 months, there has been very subtle changes, particularly particularly in the positions of the German and the Austrian government. So, for example, Germany is a coalition government. The position of the foreign minister, who comes from my own political faction, has moved a little bit, but the position of the deputy foreign minister, my direct equivalent, is completely aligned with the Irish position. So we will be working every alliance that we can with our partners across political levels and member state levels to get this through. It is a lot of work, but ultimately, and Kaja Kallas said herself there, this is first and foremost in response to the review of Article 2, but it's also a direct and immediate response to the absolute grotesque actions of Israel in very recent days, indeed overnight, as well as the UN Commission's declaration that this is
okay,
a genocide.
But if we look at where we are then, right, so the decision is not going to be made for a month either way. All the straws in the wind suggest the decision is not going to get made. This is not going to get across the line because, and I understand you're going to be lobbying and doing everything you can to get across the line, but straws in the wind at the moment suggest it's not going to get there. Even if it does get there, it looks like these tariffs would amount to an additional cost of just €227 million a year on Israel, which is a drop in the ocean for them, isn't it? You're saying yourself, very modest proposals. I mean, what's the point of any of it?
Well, that's a very fair question, Sarah. And indeed, we can always say that in relation to any moves, what is the point of it, all of it? The point of it is to build a very real coalition of pressure on Israel to achieve three things. It's very important. First, to stop the absolutely bloody slaughter that we're watching, not just in Gaza, but also in the West Bank. Secondly, to get an immediate ceasefire. And thirdly, to get real access of humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip.
So I agree with you that we all obviously want that. But I suppose my question is, will this achieve, even if this is passed, will it achieve that? I mean, there's a mountain of evidence that Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't care at all what the EU says or does. And in fact, in the last couple of days, he's been talking about an isolationist vision of Israel as a super Sparta. I mean, is there any evidence at all that this move will make any difference? Or does it need to go way beyond this?
I think ultimately it does need to go beyond this. But at the moment, this is something that we've managed to see on the table. Because to be quite frank, if you had asked me 6 months ago, was this even possible? I would have said no. But the positions have shifted. And this is unfortunately delicate and slow diplomacy, but it is a move in the right direction. And it is amounting to very real pressure. We've seen that the biggest pressure maker in this situation is, of course, the American government. And we saw their response to Israel's illegal strikes on Qatar just last week, but also previous grotesque humanitarian abuses. We will need to use that pressure as well. But ultimately, there's no point us getting angry and shouting if we're not prepared to use every tool at our legally disposable element within the rules of law. This is it. This is a move. Ireland consistently, Sarah, has been a leader in the regard. We were one of the first of two EU member states to recognise Palestine as a state. We were the first to call for this review.
I think some people in Ireland to question the position of this country within the EU or to question the EU project. I mean, not least President Michael D. Higgins talking yesterday about how some of the EU's strongest members are, quote, deciding to stay silent in watching emaciated children in what is a human, man-made, really atrocious infliction on people in Gaza. And he said the EU will find it extraordinarily difficult to ever be a union in any sense when these members are staying silent. Do you agree with him?
Not specifically, no, because I think Ireland's real power in this situation is that we are part of the European Union. The European Union, Sarah, as you know, but as your listeners should know, is the world's largest economic bloc. It is the most successful peace project in the history of mankind. And when we've needed the EU, they've been there for us. But now we need the EU to step up in relation to this brutal, bloody conflict, like it has done in relation to Russia's brutal conflict in Ukraine.
But does it make a mockery of its stance as a peace project, the way it has acted or not acted in the last two years?
No, because I think this is the really important thing. It's very easy to make broad brush talks about the EU, but we have to talk about the member states and the very different positions of a member state such as Hungary or Slovakia to that of Ireland or Spain. Ultimately, Ireland on its own can only do so much. Ireland is part of the European Union. Ireland working with partners. The first time ever this year we were invited to the G20 by South Africa. Ireland next week at the United Nations General Assembly will be doing everything it can within the rule of law to deliver what we've done. Crucially, we have also massively increased the humanitarian funding to the UN agencies when others didn't. We got the EU to stop the withdrawal of funding. That is helping people, but we need to do so much more.
Okay, and speaking of the UN, Michael D. Higgins also said yesterday that Israel and countries that are supplying Israel with weapons should be excluded from the United Nations. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it's an interesting suggestion, but it ultimately applies in the breach of the rules of the United Nations. The very beauty and indeed the very downfall of the United Nations is it brings every country together. We will have Russia sitting in the chamber next week. We have countries like Eritrea and indeed El Salvador who have despicable records. But it is the one opportunity to get them all into the room, to challenge them and to be a voice. And where we have consistently seen the UN exercise power and deliver decisions, both in relation to labelling what we're seeing in Gaza rightly as a genocide. And we have to use multilateralism, because if we revert to some form of blissful isolationism, that will simply lead to more conflict, more aggression.
I want to ask you specifically about Irish aid then going to Gaza, because President Higgins said that his counterpart in Israel, Yitzhak Herzog, misled him in stating that a consignment of Irish food will be delivered to Gaza. He said he sat beside Mr. Herzog at the inauguration of Pope Leo in St. Peter's Square on May 18th. And he said, I said to him there were two consignments of Irish food. He told me they'd be delivered within the day. He said, our embassy was contacted and those food shipments are today in Amman and Jordan, because words mean nothing. He asked that the Irish aid, which consisted of non-perishable goods and items, be allowed into the Gaza Strip. And apparently President Herzog responded by stating that the Irish embassy should contact Israeli officials to allow the aid shipment in. Do you have any idea what happened to that particular shipment of aid or other Irish aid that's trying to get into the Gaza Strip?
Well, I know that the Irish aid is still in Jordan. That part is correct. I know that it has been officially sanctioned by the Israeli government to enter Gaza, but it simply hasn't. And this has been something that's been going on for over 90 days. And if that is indeed what the Israeli president said to our own president, and I've no reason to doubt someone of the calibre of Michael D. Higgins, we are still sitting in a situation where those words did indeed mean nothing. And that's why I've been working so hard, indeed in Dubai, just last week with their own international development minister, the UAE, one of the few countries who can get sizable amount of aid into Gaza, to use every lever possible to get aid in. Because really what we've seen, we had over 60 days of Israel blocking aid going into Gaza, and now what we're seeing is maybe an average of 90 trucks going in a day. We see airdrops going in laudably by other member states, but we need to be seeing upwards of 1,000 trucks going in. We see famine in Gaza, we are seeing hunger, we are seeing energy, we are seeing base medical care being used as tools of war.
Okay, can I ask you, separately but related, what does all of this, the EU moves, might this have on the Occupied Territories Bill? Will there be some sort of, I can't think of the right word, but you understand the question.
I do indeed. Indeed, this should have no impact on the passage of the Occupied Territories Bill, because when we get into all these matters, they do get a little bit complicated. This relates to the EU-Israel Association Agreement. The Occupied Territories Bill simply refers to occupied Palestinian territories, territories that have been occupied by Israeli settlers. We are continuing to move along on foot of the Foreign Affairs Committee's recommendations to have a piece of legislation, the next stage, sorry, of this piece of legislation to the Dáil as soon as is possible, making sure that it's legally watertight. This is a first of its kind piece of legislation. We've been unable to do it due to an ICJ duelling, and having spoken to my counterparts in countries like Spain and indeed Slovenia, if Ireland can get this piece of legislation right, which I'm assured that we will, they'll follow suit as well.
Okay, and the timeline on that then, when would you expect that to be passed?
Oh, I'd imagine that we'll be seeing a piece of legislation coming back to the Dáil in the coming weeks. But it is dependent on very clear legal guidance from the Attorney General, and I wouldn't be in a position to get into the absolute depths of that at this stage.
I just want to ask you finally, Minister, about that tragic discovery today, the skeletal remains of a child discovered in the search for Daniel Arubose. What is the response of government to this really, really shocking case?
Oh, well, it's such a harrowing case to read about as a parent of young children, as a human being, as a government minister, and our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to everyone involved. But crucially, it also needs, separate to this, a very real response. And that's why we're seeing not only a full investigation by Sutusla, but a full independent investigation. And Minister Foley is going to lay out the details and the next steps in due case. But I think today is a day to perhaps park that and think of the very sad deceased that has been found.
Well, the minister did say that 42,000 wellbeing checks are being conducted of those cases that were closed during the COVID pandemic to make sure those children are doing okay. It's a huge number of wellbeing checks, 42,000. Is there anything like the resources necessary in Tuzla to try and do that? Or will it impact on the other work of Tuzla?
It shouldn't impact the other work, and the minister has outlined that every resource that is required for this will be provided, and the government won't be found wanting in that regard.
And can I ask you finally then about this proposal from the Minister for Children saying she's considering using data from the ECHI scheme, the Early Childhood Care and Education Scheme, as an additional way to check in on children. To what extent is that proposal thought through? I mean, is there data protection issues, for example, there?
Well, the data that is provided to ECHI is all in line with GDPR rules, and anything that will be done by the minister would be in line with anything to do with data protection. I think it is a possibility. Ultimately, on foot of this case, and indeed a number of cases, we want to do everything we can to make sure that the system is as robust as possible. That's why we have the independent investigation, and indeed the TUSLA investigation, and why the minister is prepared to put every resource possible into this.
Mr. Neil Richmond, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.